The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
I am convinced that if you can get yourself in a position where you keep trying, would just stop trying to be deep, stop trying to impress folks, and just make your mind up, God, I need you. I'm going to let you know I need you. I can't do nothing without you. Oh, God, help me. That is a powerful thing to pray, because then he knows that you need him, and he loves to be needed. You see, if you can find a promise in the Bible, God intends for you to be able to walk in that promise. Ooh, Jesus, I got back up there just for a minute. Ah, there's a season, there's a shift that's been taking place. If you can hear the word of the Lord today. See, I see some of y'all for 20 years been trying to do something, thought your labor was required. And the most powerful thing you can do is rest.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go to the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14. The book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14. Last week, we started talking about the practical side of trust and how important it is for Christian people to be able to authenticate your trust. In other words, it shouldn't just be a cliche. I trust God. It just can't be a cliche. It's something that can be verified. The practical side of trust that says, because I trust him, then I'll stick with his word. Because I trust him, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. Because I trust him, I'll open my mouth up and I will declare that he is my God and all is well, because I trust him. And what happens is, when you trust God, you lean on him confidently and you depend on him. When everything else seems like it fails, you can trust God. And what I've been trying to do is to get us to start trusting God now. Don't wait until you need him before you start trusting him. Just start trusting him in your everyday life. And so as we continue to look at this, this trust leads to the highest kind of faith. This trusting God leads you to a place where you can literally be empowered by this trust. And so this morning I want to talk to you, and I call this is the long, I've never worked on a series so long. I started on this 2 years ago and was never satisfied with, you know, the revelation that was coming, and finally it's done. And I want to call this series Empowered by Rest. Empowered by rest. In the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 14 and 15, it reads, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and if the Lord wills, we shall do this or we do that." See, since your life is described as a vapor, and since your life as a vapor appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away, he says what we ought to do is say, "Lord, what is your will that I do this or I do that?" So who are you to say you're going to be here or you're going to be there? We need God to guide us. I said, we need God to guide us. In fact, I want you to lift your hands right now and say, "Heavenly Father, guide me. I need you to guide me." You know, for man to try to improve himself by his own efforts, it's like improving from being a mouse to a rat. You're the same level of life. It's when man tries to improve himself by his own efforts, and you know a lot of people who are working diligently to try to improve themselves, you know, by their own efforts. We read self-help books. We go to self-help seminars. And we're constantly reaching out to things that will help self equip itself to get better. But the improvement is only going to be limited to the same level. I mean, you were a mouse, now you're a rat. You're still a rodent. Still have the same level of life. That's what happens when man tries with his own effort to improve himself, because you cannot produce God kind of results unless God is working. You cannot produce the God kind of results unless God is working. Oh, I think you'll enjoy joining me in saying this. Say out loud, work Jesus.
Work Jesus.
I want God kind of results. You see, we spend a lot of our lives trying to improve ourselves with our own effort, and you look after 10 years and you've not made much improvement. Still in the same levels. And I believe that you want to go at another level, amen? But in order for you to see that, God's got to be working. See, you can only produce man kind of results because you are working. That's the only thing you're going to be able to do. But if God is working for you and through you, then it will be God kind of results when God is working. Say out loud, I want God to work for me. Now, I know it sounds strange, God working for you, but God wants to work for you. Under the old covenant, you were working for him. Under the covenant of grace, he wants to work for you. Now, if God is working for you and through you, then you'll get the results that we're looking for. But people who are confident in themselves and not God, they only last for so long. People who are confident in themselves but not God, they only last but for so long. People who are confident in themselves and not God, they'll only last but for so long. You'll end up in failure. We need God. We need God. I know the educational institutions have tried to convince you don't need God, but I'm telling you right now, I'm here to tell you the truth. We need God. And not only do we need God, we need to let God know we need him. Come on, somebody. Come on, lift those hands up. God, I need you. Come on, God, I need you. Come on, God, I need you. See, we need God. That is the truth. But we need to let God know we need him. God loves to be needed. And somehow or another, religion has convinced us that we don't need God, because after all, I have 20 years of experience. That we don't need God because, you know, after all, you know, I've got a computer system and I have available to me all the knowledge that I could ever need. I don't need God. I don't need God. I make six figures a year. I don't need God. I'm famous. People know me. I don't need God. And I tell you, this is the truth that every man will face. You need God. I'm convinced that with that attitude, we can step into our promised land. The children of Israel were not the only one that had a promised land. We have a promised land. The promises that God has made to us. The promises of life and living it more abundantly. The promises of life being healed when the doctor pronounces sickness over your body. The promises of life when, you know, a baby need a pair of shoes, and look, you got a light bill due, and even got a gas bill too, and your telephones disconnect, wait till your next paycheck bounce on you, what am I going to do? I tell you what, I am convinced that the promises of God are real and that God wants you to walk in those promises. I am convinced that we are living in a season of acceleration. And I am convinced that if you'll just turn your life to God and say, God, I don't know about a lot of things, but there's one thing I do know. I need you, and with you, I can do all things. I need you, God. And maybe so far this is not a deep message. Maybe the simplicity of this message will go across your head. But I'm convinced that if you can get yourself in a position where you'll keep trying, would just stop trying to be deep, stop trying to impress folks, and just make your mind up, God, I need you. I'm going to let you know I need you. I can't do nothing without you. Oh, God, help me. That is a powerful thing to pray, because then he knows that you need him, and he loves to be needed. Amen. Now, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm setting you up like a mullet. I'm going to clean you like a mullet, fry you like a mullet, eat you with mullet and grits. That's that poor man's food. That mullet was called that poor man's fish, and we had it every Friday. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. I believe that we can step into our promised land. I believe that no matter what's happening in the world, the wars, rumors of wars, cold war, hot war, I believe that as Christians, we can step into our promised land. How many of you believe that with me right now? Allow me to do spiritual surgery on your heart. You're going to get this. I won't finish this today, but I'll give you just enough to walk out of here believing that you can walk in your promised land. You see, if you can find a promise in the Bible, God intends for you to be able to walk in that promise. He didn't write it down so you can put it on a Hallmark card or be cute with it and quote it to somebody. He wrote the promises down for you so you can see the promise, believe the promise, and walk in the promise. I dare you to say out loud with me, I'm walking in the promises of God. You might as well go ahead and speak faith. I'm walking in the promises of God. It's not I will walk in it. I'm walking in it. Yeah. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. You might be walking in hell right now, but that's when you say I'm walking in the promises of God. You might be broke right now, but that's when you say I'm rich. You might be sick right now, and the doctor said you got 2 months to live, but that's when you declare I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Rat, R-A-T, now. Look what he says here in Hebrews chapter 4, 1. So what's the key to this? What's the key to this? I want to walk in the promises of God. I don't want to just read about it. I want to walk in it. I want to be able to testify that God's word work, and he's working for me. Look what he says here. Hebrews chapter 4, 1. He says, let us therefore fear. That's a key word there, fear. It doesn't mean to be afraid or to have fright. When he says to fear here, it means to be cautious. It means to be aware, and it means to be diligent. And he says, so let us therefore be cautious. Let us be aware. Let us be diligent. Why? Lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. So it says we need to be cautious that we don't come short of this promise of entering into the rest. We need to be aware that we don't do something to cause us to come short of entering into the rest. We need to be diligent to make sure that we don't come short of entering into the rest. What a warning. What a warning. As if there is something to be lost or gained by entering into the rest. That's a powerful statement. That's a radical statement. That says you be cautious, you be diligent, you make sure that you are aware that you don't do something to stop you from entering into the rest. Could this finally be the key to letting us know that there is a place where the promises will manifest in our lives? And that place is not our religious works. That place is not our religious activities and efforts. That place is not our religious performance. That place is rest. Everybody say rest. Yes. Could it be that God can do something for me without me having to do something to get it? Because religion keeps telling me I got to do all this stuff in order to get it. Religion tells me I got to pray for 9 hours in order to get something. Religion tells me I got to be flawless in order to get the blessing. Religion tells me I got to pray for 12 hours a day. Religion tells me all these things I got to do in order to get God to do something for me. But could it be that God works better when you out the way? And maybe somehow you've been created to rest so he can carry out his commitment to work. But a
lot of folks don't believe that God will work for them. Some Christians just can't seem to come to the place where they can believe that they can get something free from God without having to deserve it. Well, let me show you, because this God has already done it. See, we're not talking about something that's brand new. What I just said, God has already done it. He's an experienced God. He's already been a doctor in a sick room. He's already done it. He's already been a lawyer in a courtroom. He's already done it. This is not a rookie green God. This is a very experienced God.
Lord, gonna have to help me. I feel a shout coming on here. See, you don't know where I'm going. I know where I'm going with this. I'm getting ready to take you somewhere. Let's see what he's already done. Joshua chapter 24 and 13. What has he already done? Because if he did it once, he'll do it again. And if he ever did it for anybody, he got to do it for you, or he would be a respecter of persons. But I don't think it's God who's the problem. I think we need to get out of his way. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 13. And here's what he said in verse 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. And I have given you cities and you didn't even build them. You dwell in them. I've given you cities which built not, and you dwell in those cities that you didn't build. I've given you vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, but you find yourself eating from them. I didn't need you to do this. I gave you what you didn't labor for. Come on, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 26. I feel that Baptist anointing coming on me. I got to hurry up. My God. See, we always thinking that God need us to do something. But look what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. He said, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers. He swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and godly and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. See, he made a promise to do something, and your labor was not required. Verse 11, he says, I promise I'm going to give you houses. Oh, Lord have mercy. And they're going to be full of good things, which thou fillest not. Oh, I see somebody getting a house fully equipped. You didn't have it installed. You didn't have it wired. It wasn't decorated by you. But he says, I'm going to give you houses that are going to be filled with all kinds of good stuff. And you didn't fill it. But your labor is not required. Ooh, Jesus, I got back up there just for a minute. Ah, there's a season, there's a shift that's been taking place. If you can hear the word of the Lord today. See, I see some of y'all for 20 years been trying to do something, thought your labor was required. And the most powerful thing you can do is rest. He says, I'm going to give you wells, wells digged, which thou diggest not. I'm going to give you wells that you didn't dig. No, Lord, that didn't mean I got a well I didn't dig. Somebody dug the well. I didn't dig it. You dig it? Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full,
Here's what he said. Now, when you've partaken of this and you've seen evidence that I don't need your labor, beware, lest thou forget that thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, reverence him, serve him, shall swear by his name. Here's what God is saying. When I give you houses you didn't build, when I give you wells you didn't dig, when you find out your labor wasn't necessary, don't forget about where it came from. Somebody said, well, what do we do? That's when you start giving them the glory. Yeah, that's when you invite your relatives over and say, look at this house I didn't build. Well, how'd you get it? The Lord gave it to me. Honey, I was just working, minding my own business, and I got a telephone call. You got to believe that God knows how to do this for you. What we have seen in Joshua 24, what we have just read in Deuteronomy 26, it all equals rest. It all equals rest. Now, I believe this, and I believe that God once again wants to do these favors to his children who will believe him. But somebody says, I don't believe God can do that. Hey, you're going to have what you believe, girl. I do. Oh, I do. And then not only do I believe it, I'm expecting it. And I want to make sure I'm not working on something where my work is not required. Y'all say that. I'll declare it. You are about to be so blessed. Listen, that the blessing of God is about to come so heavy on your life that people will accuse you of doing something illegal to get it. So if you can handle the persecution, go ahead and enjoy the blessing. Now, they're going to talk about you. They're going to be envious of you. They're going to be jealous of you. But I see God turning the hearts of men that hold these possessions, and the favor is going to come towards you. And if I were you, I'd say, Lord, I am at rest. Go to work. Turn to two people and tell them, something good is going to happen to you today. I'm not waiting on next week. I'm not waiting on next year. I believe something that the most shattered